From Spark and Anvil and Motif Lab, this is Tint in Chapter 1 of the Motif Lab cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
At the Motif Lab Academy, where a small tune named Trill was the hero of every song, there lived a curious, bright-eyed creature named Tint. And Tint heard sounds the way painters see colors.
When Trill sang his four notes, Tint could keep the notes exactly the same, but change their color, making them bright and glassy like a bell, then warm and fuzzy like a low horn, then thin and silvery like a flute. Same notes, same rhythm, but each color made Trill's little song feel like a completely different mood. Tint wasn't changing what Trill sang. She was changing what it was made of. "The notes didn't change at all, but it feels totally different," a young composer said. "That's timbre, the color of a sound," Tint said, holding up an invisible palette. "I'm Tint. I keep the timbre, the color of a sound. It's why the same note sounds different on a flute, than a drum, than a voice. Bright or warm, rough or smooth. Choosing the right timbre is like choosing the right color for a painting."
Trill sang his motif. Tint demonstrated. She played it in a harsh, clangy color for a tender, gentle song. And it felt wrong, like a sweet picture painted in angry red. "The color fought the feeling," she said. Then she chose a soft, warm color that matched, and the song glowed just right. Timbre isn't about fancy sounds. It's about the color that fits. A lullaby wants a warm, soft color. A march wants a bright, bold one. A young composer asked, "Which color is the best one?" "None of them," Tint said, smiling. "There's no best color, only the right color for the feeling you want. Bright isn't better than warm. Smooth isn't better than rough. You pick the one that matches the mood, the way a painter picks blue for calm and red for fire. The best color is the one that fits."
The instructor asked Tint to teach. "The students choose sounds at random," the instructor said. "Their songs feel mismatched. Will you teach them to choose colors?" Tint was glad to. When she teaches, she gives one rule. Before you pick a sound for your melody, ask what feeling you want. Warm and gentle? Choose a soft, rounded color. Bold and exciting? Choose a bright, sharp one. Try the same tune in two or three different colors and listen to how the feeling changes. Then keep the color that fits the mood. Not the fanciest one, the fitting one. A young composer tried Trill's motif in a warm, mellow color for a cozy song, and the whole room felt the warmth. "It's like Trill changed clothes," the composer laughed. "Same Trill, new color," Tint beamed. "That's timbre."
After class, Tint rested with her invisible palette, mixing colors only she could see, the way she daydreamed. For a long time, Tint had worried she dealt in something frivolous. The others handled the serious bones of music, the notes, the beat, the harmony. Tint just handled how things sounded, the surface color, the flavor. She'd wondered if choosing tone colors was just decoration, the unimportant prettiness on top of the real music. But resting with her palette, remembering how a single color change had turned Trill's song from wrong to glowing right, Tint felt her worry warm into a bright, glad confidence. Color wasn't frivolous. It was feeling itself. The same notes in the wrong color felt wrong. In the right color, they came alive. Choosing what a sound is made of shapes the mood as deeply as any note. Hers was the art of matching color to heart, and it mattered. A luminous, glad contentment filled her, and she mixed one more invisible color, content, ready to paint tomorrow's song.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Tint.
released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.